Cap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You know, sometimes I like to check myself. Sometimes I have to look at myself and go, what are you thinking? It's like if I have a dual personality. Last night, watching the Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals, in the Toronto Raptors looked like they were playing well, were playing well, had a 10-point lead midway through the third period, and yet a team at home, Milwaukee, a team with Giannis Antetokounmpo, Milwaukee, I didn't think they would get back into the game, and I have absolutely no idea why I didn't believe that. Maybe I just believed that the Raptors were looking pretty good enough to sustain their lead and to continue to play pretty well and win the game. I had no idea that everybody but Kyle Lowry would be scoreless in the fourth quarter as the Bucks would rally and win the game and go on to the Game 1 victory. And Brooke Lopez emerges as the star for Milwaukee last night. You know, sometimes I have to remind myself, hey, you know what? This Milwaukee team or whatever is pretty good. Right? Don't just count them out because there's a double-digit deficit going on in the second half. In the third quarter, no less, with plenty of basketball left to play. But it does go to show you, listen, this Milwaukee team, if they continue to find ways to get other guys to step up that need, you know, to give Giannis a little bit of boost, they're a tough out. They are really a tough out. Toronto didn't play that badly last night, except in the fourth quarter. They didn't play all that particularly well, but that's what happens. That the last 12 minutes are fatal to your cause. And Toronto finds himself down 0-1 in a game they probably should have won last night. Nevertheless, Milwaukee, this is a good testament to them. Just keep fighting, find production any way you can. Good game from Brooke Lopez, good game from Giannis last night, and, you know, just taking over in the fourth quarter and winning this game. So, but just sitting there believing in Toronto and just saying, listen, this is a good team, experienced team. Kawhi Leonard is playing particularly well. This is a pretty, you know, well-coached basketball team that's doing pretty good things defensively. Why didn't I just give Milwaukee the benefit of the doubt and sit back and go, let's see what Milwaukee can do as they close out this game? But I didn't. I didn't believe they'd get back in, and kind of shame on me for that as Milwaukee comes back in the fourth quarter and wins it. But coming up, still the buzz on what happened Tuesday night in the draft lottery with Zion Williamson. Could he not go to New Orleans? We'll examine that next on SB Nation AM.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could join us, SB Nation AM. We do Throwback Thursday. We go back in time and either sports or pop culture and then give you the hits of that year. This is 1985. This is Madonna. We are celebrating the fact that on this date, Michael Jordan was named the NBA Rookie of the Year. In 1985, so that's what celebrating this morning. Good choice, I think, right? That worked out pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you have a rookie of the year who just never does anything after that.
Yeah, that's right. After that, you just don't hear from him again, and then just kind of disappears into the... And you go, whatever happened to that guy?
Exactly. So, this one, Michael Jordan. We kind of know what happened to that guy.
You ever watch the 30... Not the 30 for 30, I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. The 5 Reasons You Can't Blame show that ESPN used to run years ago. They did the one where can't blame Portland for passing on Michael Jordan or whatever.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. They're like, no, they needed a big man. Yeah, all right. Well, okay. Yeah. They needed a big man. What do you want? They take Michael Jordan.
Yeah. No, none bigger than him.
Yeah, Michael Jordan was like, I mean, even he wasn't really one of those guys that came into the league and was like, oh my God, this guy is better than we thought. He was really like, he was on the USA 1984 team, was on the cover of the magazines. He was kind of, you know, coming in from North Carolina. I mean, I do blame them for not taking Jordan. I mean, you got to take best player available. It's, I know people would say need Sam, and they took Sam Bowie, but you got a talent like that. I mean, again, he Jordan didn't surprise people. Maybe best player ever on the planet. Okay, I can see that, because that's a hard thing to peg for a young man. You don't know where the career is going to go, who's going to be coached by.
You had no idea.
You know, but at the same time, you know, please.
But, okay, here's my argument, though. If Jordan had gone to Portland, would he have been as big as he actually was?
Yeah, that's always been the argument, right? That's kind of the thing, right? Did he need sort of the right coaching, whether from Doug Collins or then later on Phil Jackson? I mean, how does he build the team that, you know, does the team get built around him like it had to win all the championships that they did? I mean, all of the things are in place.
The other thing I was going to mention too is that part of Jordan's appeal, or mass hysteria towards him now, is the marketability of him.
Yeah,
and would
right.
he have gotten that in Portland? I mean, we talk about all the time that now we don't. If you're a big star, like if you're a Giannis, you don't need to be in a big market. But back when Jordan was coming through, you did need to be in a big market.
You kind of needed to,
If he had gone to Portland, would we have had be like Mike and he probably would have still been with Nike because. Right next door.
Yeah, I mean, it's, listen, the Lakers kind of are the exception to the rule, but if you play in Portland, Seattle, Sacramento, back then Golden State, right, it's hard to get Madison Avenue to latch on you, although, stars have done that, but not to the extent, I mean, America had to see you a lot, right? And they saw Magic and Kareem a lot because they were always in the playoffs and always in the finals. But back then, cable TV was still kind of rising up, and it's very hard to get to watch a Sacramento Kings game, for example, if you live in New York or Boston or Miami. And it's, other than that, you're just watching box scores and highlights.
Well, here's another argument. Here's another argument, because we always blame Portland for passing on Jordan, but we never blame Houston. Had Houston not won titles, had Hakeem not won titles, would we blame Houston?
Good question. Yeah, that's a good question.
Because, obviously Jordan had to lead the league for the Rockets to win titles. But had they not, would we hold Houston accountable for passing on the greatest player ever?
Interesting point.
Or do we give him a pass? Because, Olajuwon was...
No, they had Ralph Sampson at the time, so they were trying to hook up with something, give him... create some really good size down low. So I don't know. No, that's an interesting point. Yeah. I mean, Houston winning titles sort of helps out their cause, but doing it when Jordan wasn't in the league, I think, you should blame anybody for not taking Jordan. So.
Even the guys who picked after Jordan, we should blame
exactly.
for not taking Jordan.
All right. Speaking of picking players, the New Orleans Saints. I wish the New Orleans Pelicans are likely to take Zion Williamson number one pick in the draft. Right?
I've heard the Saints are going after Zion as well.
I did too. Did you see that little? that was very nice. Was Sean Payton tweet that out? Or was it the Saints organization that tweeted out the picture of Zion? That was they morphed Zion into a Saints uniform. So the Pelicans are likely to take Zion Williamson, but now it didn't take long for the argument to sort of pop up. If you're Zion Williamson, do you want to be taken by the Pelicans? And if you don't, do you go back to Duke? Do you sit out a year? Do you force the Pelicans' hand into trading you somewhere else? It's amazing. It's an amazing debate because players have done this, but we really haven't seen this at the NBA. I think it was pointed out Danny Ferry actually did this. He was drafted by the Clippers, didn't want to play for them, spent a year outside the league. But most NBA guys who come out just go to the team that draft them, even if it's not the most pleasant place that they want to go. The argument against New Orleans isn't, the livability of the city. New Orleans is a great city, and it's got great food. It's got great culture. It's a fun town to live in. The Pelicans as an organization is a disaster. I mean, they did not do anything with Anthony Davis the entire time he was down there. You have one of the best players in the NBA. They should have been more of a factor in the postseason. I'm not asking you to win titles automatically. It's hard to do, especially with LeBron being in the league. But I am asking you to make yourself really known, to put a real stamp on your presence in the Western Conference. And the Pelicans never really did that. And if you are Zion Williamson and you're looking at that organization, I know they're under new management, but you're going to have to sell me that you're going to be able to do this. And I'm not just going to go down to New Orleans and play for teams that are just slightly above 500 and getting knocked out of the first round of the playoffs because I'm an eight seed or barely making it into the postseason. I mean, or not making the postseason at all, that you're going to put a team around me, that you're going to be dedicated to building something when everybody else is building. I can understand that argument, but in Zion's case, from an economic standpoint, this is why you want to get into the NBA as quickly as you possibly can. Because you get in there and there's a rookie scale that goes up, but then when you get to sign and you get to sign the max deals, you're young. And then you get another deal after that deal is done and you really can maximize your money. So that 1 year does make a little bit of a difference. So if you're a Zion, this is an economic question rather than a philosophical question, then you go to New Orleans. If it's a philosophical question, I want to win and I want to put myself in the best chance to win. I am a big man. I don't know how long I've actually gotten the league. We've seen guys just break down with the wear and tear this league will give you. Some big men don't last that long in the league. Some last 15 years, some last six, right? If you're going to put me on this team, put a team around me, I want to win and I want to win now. I don't want to just go down there. I've seen the frustration of Anthony Davis. If Anthony Davis had players around him, he'd probably want to stay in New Orleans to win there. It is a good town to be in. It's a good, there's a strong pride of New Orleans, right? They're not a basketball town, but I'm telling you, winning is contagious. All right. Look, Golden State's all fun and Oracle is loud, but there was a time where Golden State wasn't winning. There was a time where Golden State wasn't Golden State. Winning is infectious. It brings out the best in your city and your fans. If you are Zion and you go to New Orleans and you start winning games and you start making, you know, yourself known in the Western Conference, the fans will come around and it'll become a raucous place. It'll become an exciting place to play. There was a time with the Pelicans when they had Chris Paul. You know, it was good basketball. You know, fans were really rallying behind the Pelicans. Back then it was the Hornets, but they were the Pelicans, you know. Nevertheless, if you're Zion, does this argument make sense? You know, we hear John Elway did this, Eli Manning did this, but would an NBA number one overall pick, could he do this? Yes, he could. Reports are that he hasn't hired an agent yet, which means he could go back to Duke. Now imagine that for a second. Imagine that. That instead of signing a rookie deal, instead of making yourself a product in the NBA immediately, you go back to play for Mike Krzyzewski. Think of the Duke fan base and how they would react if Zion said, nah, this isn't for me. I'm going back to Duke. Now, let's not forget that there was a moment during the college basketball season where we were a little scared about what happened to Zion Williamson when he blew out his shoe. We were, oh, how long is he going to be out? Is he really hurt? What does this mean? Remember that. I don't think Zion goes back to school. I don't know if he sits out, but I don't think he goes back to school. Going back to school, foregoing the NBA and going back to school for Zion Williamson would be a huge mistake. More of a mistake than going to play for the New Orleans Pelicans. If you don't want to play with New Orleans, play your hand in some other way. Play your hand. The threat of going back to college, don't even make it, because I don't think it's believable. You want to sit out? That's fine. You want to play overseas for a year like Danny Ferry did? That's fine. But don't go back to school. You made the decision to turn pro. Technically, you can if you haven't hired an agent, but don't. Figure out a way to get out of the New Orleans situation, but do it in a way that sort of says, I will sit out or I will go overseas, but I won't sign. But if you're the Pelicans, you've got to, if you feel that from Zion, you got to sell. You got to sell your team. And if you are the new general manager and if you're the new coaching staff, you've got to sell this hard, because you're going to lose Anthony Davis, right? Either Anthony Davis is going to walk or he's going to play a lame duck year, but you're losing Anthony Davis. You can't lose Zion Williamson too. We talked this with about the Knicks. The Knicks didn't get Zion, but they could still land Anthony Davis by packaging a deal with New Orleans to get Davis with their third pick and maybe however it would play out in terms of value. Great. The Knicks are really not dead in the water in terms of making themselves a real formidable team. But New Orleans can't lose both these guys. Did you see the video of the ticket sellers in New Orleans screaming and losing their mind because they got the number one pick? They weren't doing that because it's wide open. We could grab anybody and everything will be good. They're doing it because Zion will sell tickets. But now the Pelicans, if they feel a little bit of hostility from Zion's camp, are going to have to figure out a way to sell New Orleans. We will build a team around you. The prior administration made mistakes that we won't make. We're going to put something around you that is going to make you competitive in this West when there are teams building. The Lakers aren't done putting together what they want to put together. Golden State will be Golden State. I expect Houston to do some things. New Orleans is going to have to do some things with Zion if they want to be competitive in the West. They've got to convince them to do that. Because the paper is already out, right? The page is already out on Anthony Davis. What did they do with him? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And it's an embarrassment, to be honest with you, because you had one of the best players in the NBA, and never once was the New Orleans Pelicans a serious threat in the West. You never had that moment like Houston has now where it's like, well, they're really good. They could give Golden State a real run. The Pelicans were never, never, never that team with one of the best players in the NBA. And Zion could be one of the best players in the NBA, and it could still be 8 seed and out or 9 seed and not get in. So, again, if you're the Pelicans, you may have to sell. All right, 800-777-2907 is the number on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We'll get to some NFL with the Jets coming up as they fire their general manager in a very bizarre move. We'll get to that coming up as we continue along on a Thursday morning, a throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, celebrating 85 the year on this date, Michael Jordan awarded the Rookie of the Year in the NBA. Is this Tears for Fears?
Oh, so close.
Simple Minds.
There it is.
I get those confused.
Weren't they the same band? Just different
I thought
names.
So. Just different names, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Flip them, interchangeable. Simple Minds did a live and kick in. Tears for Fears did Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
There
I think
we
I had
it.
Both of their cassettes when
still?
I was younger. Oh, if they were, they'd be somewhere in my parents' basement
exactly.
in a pot
I have,
junk.
I have a box of, you know, like the old Beastie Boys, License to Ill cassette yep, somewhere.
Ill cassette.
Run DMC.
Exactly. Yep.
Somewhere.
Exactly.
I think I might even have a Lionel Richie. Who knew?
Oh, really?
I might.
Wow. I have a question. How come the Currys, who showed up at the Western Conference Finals Game 1 where Dell was wearing a Golden State jersey and Sonya was wearing a Portland Trailblazers jersey for Seth, why didn't they just invest in one of those dual jersey
half and
things?
Half. Yes.
You know, you sew the two jerseys together. Why didn't they invest in that? It seems
well, how
like
dumb is
Steph
it?
Was saying, he said it was weird to see his mom in Seth's jersey, but she is the mom and she's got to support both kids, but... Yeah, why wouldn't they just wear the split jerseys?
Yeah, why can't they? You know what I thought was even dumber? Was that before each game, they're going to flip a coin for which team they're going to
yeah,
root for.
Right.
I'm like, really?
Come on.
You're going to root against your son's team?
See, you know what I'd like to know? You always say that, like, we always see these with parents. Every now and then we get this situation in sports where there's a parent that's like, oh my God, my kid's playing this, they're playing against each other. But I also wonder, like, deep down, are they really neutral, or does deep down they go, oh, I want Seth to win because
yeah,
Steph
of course
has won
they
all
want
these titles.
Seth to
or
win.
I want Steph to win because I want Steph to win because he's building a gigantic legacy that's gonna be so much bigger but with every title he wins. Like deep down,
we're parents. And
right?
This is the God's honest truth. If Golden State is to lose this series, I don't think it hurts Steph's legacy.
No, I don't either.
He already is going to go down as one of the greatest shooters of all time. He already has 3 titles to his name. Give it to Seth. Let Seth have something.
Yeah.
What does Seth have?
Seth
doesn't
little
even
fun.
Start.
Yeah.
Let's give him a ring.
Give Seth a little fun. Come on, man. Give him a little fun. I mean, Steph Curry has gotten all the limelight, all the attention. Here's Seth's turn to
has NBA
you know, do
records,
something with Portland.
What, first unanimous MVP?
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, he's fine.
Exactly.
His legacy isn't going to be tarnished if he loses to little brother.
What a cool situation for two parents to be in.
Yeah, but as a parent, I mean, you'd want, deep down inside, you'd want your other son to reach the pinnacle.
Yeah, exactly. You'd want a little bit of, you want to get a little bit of equal footing, if you will. Not quite the same, but you want a little, you want to close the gap just slightly, right?
Yeah, I'm sure for like the Mannings, you know, Eli had two Super Bowls when Peyton was in that second one, or before he even got to the second one, I'm certain they were sitting there like, you know what, Eli already has two. It would be nice for Peyton to get two.
You know, yeah, Eli didn't want the two, right? I'm sure, you know, I'm sure Archie was, you know, pulling for both of his sons for success, but yeah, goodness gracious. This is a good situation for parents to be in.
Oh,
that's kind of neat. But wear the dual jersey. Go invest in the dual jersey. Have somebody make it nice, blend it together. It'll be perfect.
Very
simple.
What's
Seth's number again? 31? What's his number? I don't even know.
I don't know.
But blend it together. Make it one nice dual jersey and wear that.
Or
support both of your kids.
Wear the Portland jersey with the Steph mouthpiece.
Yeah, that's a good one. There you go.
Just
you
have it
that.
Hanging out of your mouth
that's
the
pretty
entire
good.
Time.
That's pretty good. Yeah,
that's a good way to show you're supporting both teams.
Well, do they switch now in game two?
They're flipping
coins.
This
is like a pressing issue to me. Yeah, that's true. It's a pressing issue for me. I want to see how the Curry family deals with rooting for their children in the Western Conference Finals. This is great. I really hope Portland could pull out another game. I really do tonight. I hope they pull this out. I want this series to be even. They can't go down 0-2. Come back in an 0-2 series against the Warriors.
And if they come out playing the way they played in game one, forget it. Series is done.
Forget it.
It'd be one of those things like, I don't even bother playing the next two games in Portland. I know Portland probably wants a home game, but you know, forget it.
Listen, again, series ain't over until, you know, sorry to judge a series until the home team loses, but my God, you've got to hit some shots, Portland. You've got to hit shots. Maybe you're warming up. Maybe you're warming up into this series, and maybe we'll see the different kind of Trailblazers team in game two that we didn't see on Tuesday night, but you got to hit some shots because that beginning of that game on Tuesday night was a clank fest for everybody, but we'll see. I mean, Portland is still a very well-coached team, still got some really strong players. I think they could put up a fight. The problem is Golden State now. Don't you feel like Golden State was like, we are done with this nonsense, and we're playing the way everybody wants to kill us. Yes, we had a regular season where we looked vulnerable. Yes, we had a regular season where we would lose at home by a lot. Yes, we had a regular season where, you know, maybe fatigue is setting in and we're tired of hearing about where Kevin Durant is going to go this offseason and how this team is going to get broken up. But you know what? We're done with that. We took care of the Rockets, who really thought that they had a chance coming back in their series against us, and now we will wipe the floor with Portland, and we will go on to the NBA championship. There, that game in game one reminded me of the emotion that they had in game six in Houston. That was real. Like, they didn't just do, you know, how teams will not celebrate that kind of series victory and they'll go, nope, it's business. We don't celebrate until the championship. They really celebrated against Houston because I think they were feeling everybody's angst against them and wanting to pull for the Rockets for a little bit of different blood, feeling as if the Rockets were the best chance to make it happen. Not believing, let's say, in Portland, not believing in Denver, who was going to come out of the other series. That everybody was looking at Houston going, this is the best chance to eliminate this dynasty and move on with somebody else. And I think they were feeling it. And when they won in Houston, I think they went, yeah. You know what? You wanted to bury us without Durant, but we came back and played the way we used to play, and we eliminated this pest of a basketball team that has been driving us crazy. And I think they feel that same way against Portland. If they could win this series in four and win by double digits in each game, for crying out loud.
Oh, easily.
But I hope Portland gives us a fight. And do it without Durant as well. Right. Exactly. And then head on to the finals where they'll wait on to see who beats each other up in this after game one in Milwaukee. But I hope Portland gives them a run tonight because I want to make this an interesting series. Now, I don't know what happens. I mean, we saw the Clippers win game two, and that didn't amount to anything. But I just think Portland's got to feel like they can win this game because sometimes that's half the battle. Sometimes you go, man, I don't know what we're going to do, what's wrong, and how to fix it. We'll see you tonight.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, celebrating 1985. This was the biggest hit of 85, wasn't it? I mean, maybe Madonna had the biggest, but this was...
Well, this had dropped to number two this week.
Okay, so this was We Are the World. This was a great collaboration of artists of the time.
I don't think we've seen anything like this.
No, we've never seen anything like this. And they did it after the Grammys. So they had the Grammys, and then they shuttled everybody to a studio to do this song. Quincy Jones was putting it together. And it had everybody. I mean, pretty much everybody. In 1985 was in this. Bob Dylan was in this. Michael Jackson was in this. Lionel Richie, are you here? This was to raise money for the famine relief in Africa. We're also celebrating on this date in 1985, Michael Jordan winning the Rookie of the Year in his first year with the Bulls. But this was a big deal. I remember seeing the documentary on this and being just massively impressed that all these people showed up to do this song.
I was always amazed. Like, man, how did they get all these people to show up at one point, one place?
Oh, goodness gracious.
I know they did something similar around the first Desert Gulf War with Voices That Care or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Right.
But, I mean, this was beyond huge.
Yeah, this was really big. And then they did it raised a ton of money. Remember, they also did Hands Across America for that too. I think that was in 85 too. Everybody held hands, made a chain from sea to shining sea.
America.
Yeah. So, God, what a year. What a crazy year, 85. But Jordan was the Rookie of the Year, and that's why we do a Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. All right, so I want to get back to this Zion Williamson thing. I'm fascinated by this idea that Zion won't play for the Pelicans.
Is he pulling an Eli? Eli Manning?
Well, I got a question. Yeah, he could. But I got a question. Why are people immediately assuming that the Pelicans, that this could happen because the Pelicans of old didn't do right by Anthony Davis when there's a Pelicans of new? I mean, David Griffin has taken over the team as a general manager, and he could easily go, I had nothing to do with the ineptitude of this franchise not building around Anthony Davis. And why is it that we still, as we talked about earlier, because of the way the NBA is, why are we still under this impression that Zion needs to be a Nick, why is that still a thing the NBA has to have? It doesn't have to have any of that stuff. Zion can be rich and famous in New Orleans. Zion can be an impact player in New Orleans. It can be an impact player anywhere. My God, we saw it in Oklahoma City. We've seen it with Golden State, for crying out loud. Why are we automatically assuming because New Orleans has the number one pick that Zion, this is bad for Zion? It's only bad for Zion if the organization doesn't build around him, but it's not bad for Zion because of the city and the small fan base and the organization as a whole. It's only bad because they don't have a history of doing things right. But think about this for a second. The Los Angeles Lakers are a mess right now. I mean, you don't know when that is coming. You don't know when things are going to turn around. You don't know when things are going to get better. The Nuggets were the two seed in the NBA playoffs. For a number of years, they were a mess. They didn't know what to do with Carmelo Anthony. They didn't know how to get out of the first round of the playoffs. They didn't know how to get back into the playoffs when they finally were out. And now they were the number two seed. Things can change with your organization and change quickly, and Zion can be a part of it. I understand that, look, the draft is weird. Can we all admit that the draft is a little bizarre? I mean, where else in our culture are you told where you're going to go work, where you really cannot sell your trade to the highest bidder because there's one organization that plays professional basketball at the highest level in this country, and that's the NBA. And in order to get in the NBA, the order to play in the NBA, you get chosen where you're going to live and work. And that's it. Or you don't get to play in the NBA. It's a little weird. The NFL does it. All these other teams do it. But we accept that in sports because that's the competitive nature of it. You know, we don't have to accept it in college athletics. Like, we don't tell, you know, Alabama doesn't go, well, we can only pick 3 5-star recruits this year because that's the rules. Nope. They can get as many as they want. They're selling their program. They can get as many as they want. The NBA and the NFL and Major League Baseball and the NHL, with their drafts, do it because there is an importance to the competitive balances of these teams and of the league. You know, it's not 30 individual institutions, right? People often equate it to competitiveness of like a restaurant. This is not Burger King, Wendy's, and McDonald's. These are all different franchises of the same company. That's what the NBA is. And it's better when there's a competitive field out there, as close as you can get. We talk about the NFL with parity, right? The NFL wants as close to parity as they possibly can, so that if you excel beyond that, you really are excelling. And that every single fan base has a belief that they are just a player or two or a signing or two away from changing the fortune of their franchise. That's what the lottery does for the NBA. That's what the draft does for all of the sports. It enables you to get out of, especially as a fan, get out of the doldrums of being in last place. That the league, because it wants all 30 teams to be somewhat successful in a way, tries to help everybody rise up. That's why this is important. Yes, it's a weird concept, right? Whereas, like, if you wanted to get into radio, for example, and you say, all right, I've graduated from journalism school, broadcasting school, I'm ready to go. And the industry said, and you are going to Dothan, Alabama. And that's where you had to go, right? Anything. If you come out of accounting school and they go, and you're going to be working at a car plant in Michigan. Yay. And you had to go there. That's the way the NBA is. The NFL is. All these leagues are. Is there leverage? Well, yeah, we've seen leverage play out. We've seen Eli Manning say, I'm not playing for San Diego. We've seen John Elway say, I'm not playing for Baltimore. Right? We saw Eric Lindros in hockey say, I'm not playing for Quebec. We've seen leverage played out. Okay. Does Zion want to use that? But why would he want to use that? He's not going to be able, unless he is dictating the terms of where he wants to go, he has no leverage to do that. For the Pelicans. And what if he goes back to school and waits for another draft lottery? Is he going to just keep doing this until the ping pong balls land Knicks? Well, the Knicks are supposed to get Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, right? That's what we've been told over and over again. So they're not going to tank out to get the possible number one pick for next year. If you're Zion, this is where you got to go. This is where you got to play. Now, where else does he want to go? Does he just cross his fingers? Remember, he has no leverage to be traded to any particular team. Because if he doesn't play for New Orleans, he's not playing for anybody else. Unless New Orleans says, we're trading you, or you put yourself back in school and re-enter the draft for next year. And who knows what team will be there next year. So I understand the argument, and I've heard this over and over again yesterday, about Zion's ability to sort of control his own destiny. But you've also got to tell me how he controls his own destiny. If he wants to play for the Knicks, how does he get there? How does he get there? Because the Pelicans are going to own his rights until he declares himself back in college and back in the draft. So unless the Pelicans want to trade with the Knicks, and I don't understand why they would, how does Zion control his own destiny? Now, if he wants to play for anybody else than New Orleans, then maybe we've got something. Because then the Pelicans could say, okay, if he's not going to play for us, let's see what is out there for the number one overall pick. What talent could we get? Who can we get? Okay, now we're having a conversation. But if he wants to go to a specific team, tell me how that's going to play out. Don't just tell me he can use his leverage without telling me where the leverage is going to go. Because to me, I don't see another play for Zion other than going back to school and trying his luck again, or saying, I'll play for anybody but New Orleans. So New Orleans, deal with me and build your team in that capacity. But the Pelicans already tried to do that with Anthony Davis, and that fell apart. So I don't know where this goes. But it would, if that were, and we haven't gotten any indication from Zion Williamson's camp is exactly how he feels about this, but those ticket sellers that were celebrating, I mean, that's a pretty cool video. I mean, I was happy for them.
Yeah, that just shows you what getting the number one pick means. I mean, for them, you know, nothing's harder than trying to sell tickets to people.
Oh, God,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, trying to convince someone to come see your product, especially when your product has had a really down year.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And
yeah.
when it's and when you know that the biggest draw of your product wants to leave.
That's right. All of a sudden now you're trying to sell tickets and all of a sudden you're hearing you hear people like me saying, hey, you should leave New Orleans. It's not good for the league or him to play for the Pelicans. Right. I mean, ugh. By the way, did it seem like the Pelicans have a lot of season ticket sellers in that room?
I have to think maybe his family and friends.
Yeah, I have no idea how.
That was a lot of people. And that's just a lot of people just hanging out in one room.
Can you make a lot of money doing that? Selling tickets? Like selling season tickets?
I have no
idea. I don't know what the commission base is, but I don't know. It seems like a really hard thing to make a living at. But people do it. I mean, listen, I remember when I first moved to Nashville and my wife and I went to a game. And I wanted to find out, we really loved it. I mean, we had such a good time. And I remember I wanted to find out about flex plans and things like that. I was like, man, we should buy more tickets to this. This is pretty cool. But let me see what they have for families and whatnot. So I stopped by the season ticket booth and I was talking to the guy about, listen, I can't get to 40 games. I can get to a few. What do you have in terms of like a 10 pack or a 15 pack, you know, family of four kind of thing? What do you have? And he was showing me the different options, and I said, okay, great. So then my wife found out there was a lot of tickets at her office. They had season tickets. You know, she was working as management with the company, so she was getting them. So we kind of said, nah, we're not going to do that. That guy didn't stop calling me for weeks and weeks, just still asking me if there was anything he could do. Did I want to come down and have lunch in one of the suites and go over, you know, get a tour of the arena and all this other stuff? And I thought, what a hard job that is. I just showed minimal interest and he was on the phone constantly trying to sell me tickets. It's a hard job. So to see their celebration yesterday on the video, that was, you know, that was pretty cool. These guys have a tough job. They have a really tough job when Anthony Davis wants to leave and now they have to figure out how to sell tickets, and then Zion Williamson lands in their lap and now they're thrilled because they're going to be able to sell tickets. And so, you know, Darren Rovell said that those guys, each one of those guys is expected to make $10,000 more in salary based on Zion Williamson. I find that hard to believe. How do you make $10,000 more when you had Anthony Davis?
How does he always come up with these weird numbers?
He does. He just throws it out there. I think he just throws it out there and he says, oh, somebody told me. What do you mean somebody told you?
He sits there in a room and goes, what if I say 25,000? Nah, no one will believe 25. 10? No,
yeah.
Maybe they'll believe 10.
Really?
I'll just go with 10.
Because Zion Williamson is, each person is going to make $10,000 more in ticket sales. They had Anthony Davis for years. How does Zion Williamson raise their salary
by $10,000?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So if you did it for the first month and you averaged out the ticket sales continuing that way for an entire year, maybe it would equal $10,000. But it's not going to happen. I mean, yeah, they're going to see, if they get Zion Williamson, they're going to see a spike.
Right.
But then the spike will quickly be met with, oh, yeah, it's the Pelicans.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. It is a Throwback Thursday. It's 1985 on SB Nation AM.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
It is Throwback Thursday on this date, 1985, Michael Jordan, Rookie of the Year. This is Murray Head. I don't know how I know this.
I don't know either.
I have no idea how I know this, but this is Murray Head, One Night in Bangkok. I haven't heard this song in probably 10 years. My God, that is really bringing back some memories. This was a catchy tune in 85. This really was. I didn't really understand it as a kid, but there's sort of like different innuendos in the song, whatnot. But
well,
I just thought it was catchy.
I know the last time you heard it.
Okay.
It had to be probably, I'm assuming you saw Hangover 2.
Oh, that's right. So that would have been shorter than 10 years. Yeah.
That would have been the last time you heard this song.
I have not heard this song on the radio in a long time. long time. I don't even think they play it. Even on those, like, we play anything.
That was during the 80s when they just kept, there's just weird songs coming out.
Weird songs. This is a weird song. Again, as a kid, I thought it was catchy. I didn't understand what he was talking about. But
nope.
Whatever. By the way, yesterday was National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day. Oh, I don't either. Do you know yesterday was National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day yesterday?
No, really?
Yes. Oh, why do I miss this stuff?
Can I make up for it today?
I'll double down. Be like opening Christmas presents on December 26th, but people do it.
Yeah.
That's right.
I wish I had known.
Eat your Easter candy on Monday. Right? Chocolate chip cookie day. What are we doing with all these holidays? Is there a list so I can keep up with all this?
I think so.
Like, I hear that, and it's always a day later. It's like, oh, Tuesday was National Taco Day. And I'm like, really? Wow. Say hi to your mom day. Well, we just did that on Sunday. No, you should say hi to your mom every day. But man, this feels like a holiday all the time.
If you want to know what today is.
Yeah, what is today?
Today is National Love a Tree Day.
Really? So what do you mean I got to love a tree?
Or it could be National Do Something Good for Your Neighbor Day. Or Oof. National Sea Monkey Day.
Okay, the sea monkeys, that was kind of cool.
It could also be National Piercing Day.
I'll pass.
Maybe pierce a sea monkey?
I like the sea monkeys. The sea monkey's good. A little shrimp brine in the water.